Oh, man, start up your weekend right here on B&E. It is a Friday, which is always good, but it is kind of rough out there. We've said the fog has rolled in this morning. We can see it out our window here at our Horn headquarters in West Austin. And the text says, my goodness, the visibility out here is rough. Fog is terrible. So, as we mentioned, if you're out on the highways and byways, be careful. Dense fog advisory, obviously, in effect here.
Yeah, I can't see the highway from here. That's one of the first. I can see them.
I can see that tree. The trees are just right there in the parking lot.
If you try to see down to the highway here.
No, you can't.
No.
360.
Unbelievable.
Cannot see it, for sure. So be careful, for sure, out there as you get up and going on a Friday. A little extra space. Don't use your bright lights. That doesn't do any good. Makes it worse. No brights.
Does it really?
No brights in the fog.
You sure?
Yep. That's what you got the low fog lights for.
I see.
If you have low fog lights. If not, just keep your normal lights in their normal spot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And back up, Jack. Don't get up all up on me.
Back up, Jack.
Yeah, man.
Highlights this morning. If you're just joining us, appreciate you jumping in. Hope you can ride with us all morning long, all day long. We're live, we're local, we're digital here on a Friday. Got a recap of that disappointing night for Texas baseball here coming up as they dropped the first game. You missed an opportunity last night at the Dish, but a major development from UT. 1 hour from now, we'll talk to UT Athletic Director Chris Del Conte on why the decision was made to go to 100% for outdoor sports, and talk with Chris about what's going on and what's coming this summer and into the fall at Texas with the AD. We'll also continue the big conversations of the morning. We've got two pair of tickets, you told me. So the Rangers and Astros are getting together this weekend for another edition of the Silver Boot Series in Major League Baseball. And we have a couple of pair of tickets for tomorrow afternoon's game in Arlington. So if you would like to, you got a free weekend, maybe that sounds like something you'd be a part of, we'll tell you how you can win some of those tickets here coming up this hour and next hour. We'll give away a pair of those Rangers-Astros tickets. And before we get to your trending topics and your headlines to start your Friday morning, let's get you the B&E Fact of the Day.
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
All right, so the NBA announced the finalists for their major awards yesterday. And for the MVP, it is Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, and Steph Curry. One of those three will be the MVP for this season when they announce the winner. Most people assume it's Nikola Jokic, I think. Zay, is that right? The running conclusion will be the Denver big man?
Yeah, I think so. Even though the 76ers have probably the best record out of those two teams, Joel Embiid missed a lot of games this year.
Yeah, he did, which is typical. But if indeed it's, as you say, Zay, if it goes Embiid-Jokic or Jokic-Embiid, it'll only be the second time in NBA history that a pair of international players finished 1-2 in the MVP voting. Could you come up with and name the other time that that happened? Happened one other time when first and second place for MVP were international stars in the NBA. If you can give us that, we'll get it on the other side. All right, we'll also keep you posted on round two action at Kiawa Island, the PGA Championship. Round two underway here this morning. We'll get you a full leaderboard throughout the course of our show. But right now, Buck, let's get the headlines, the major developments, the trending topics. UBO Business Services brings it to you. And yes, that second round of the PGA Championship does tee off this morning. We'll get you the leaderboard here coming up. But we'll start with major development from UT Athletics. As we mentioned, UT AD Chris Del Conte did announce that all outdoor sporting events moving forward are back to 100% capacity, and that went into effect last night for the Texas baseball game and the opener of their series with West Virginia. Will also include the NCAA softball Austin Regional that begins today at McCombs Field. Now, in that baseball game at the Dish, more than 2,500 fans on hand. Great energy, but they left disappointed last night as the Longhorns missed an opportunity as the second-ranked Horns dropped the opener to West Virginia 5-4. Meanwhile, first-place TCU was dropping their series opener in Kansas State in Manhattan. Staff ace Ty Madden not as sharp as usual on a breezy night at the Dish. Mountaineers capitalized. Three home runs they hit last night. A two-run shot in the first inning to take an early lead. Longhorns battled back to tie it at 2, but a solo homer in the third and then a leadoff homer in the fifth put West Virginia up 5-3. Texas had their opportunities but couldn't come up with a big swing. They went 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position and left 11 runners on base. Also saw Cam Williams get called out on an eyelash play at home plate after a wild pitch that would have tied the game at 5. Texas now falls to 15-7 on the year in Big 12 play. Still a game back of TCU for head coach David Pierce.
We got to do a better job offensively of executing, and then we've just got to make them earn anything they get and attack the zone. I thought Ty did attack. We came out on the short end tonight.
Game two is tonight at 6:30. The PGA Championship took first round action yesterday. The chase for the Wanamaker Trophy. Leader after one round, Canadian Corey Connors, your leader. 67 yesterday, 5 under. Gives him a two-stroke lead over six others, including Brooks Koepka and former PGA champion Keegan Bradley. Eight more golfers are at 2 under, including Phil Mickelson. Round two is underway this morning. Eastern Conference playoff matchup and playoff seating is set after last night's final play-in game, and it was a blowout. Washington crushed Indiana 142-115. Wizards will be the eighth seed and will face top-seeded Philly in round one. Tonight, the Western Conference eighth seed will be determined with Golden State facing Memphis. Baseball, another win for the Round Rock Express last night. They opened their first road trip of the season with a win at Tacoma 10-5. Major League Baseball, both the Astros and Rangers played yesterday. Rangers lose to the Yankees 2-0, dropped 3 out of 4 in that series. Astros beat the A's to pull into first place in the AL West.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Oh, man. This guy says, thanks, Buck, for Sam Burns. Oh, it burns.
Yeah, believe me, that does burn.
he pulled out.
I got a lot of other players in it, though. Just you should have jumped on board here.
Well,
I got some players in there.
I went
though.
On with Burns, but I like my pick of Brooks Koepka at this point. I'm not liking my pick of Rory McIlroy at this point.
And you had another guy in there that just stuck it to you too. Okay. It's like +5.
Who?
One of your dudes.
Who?
Yeah, there's one of them in there.
Come on, man. Well, Jordan Spieth is +1, so he is technically in the conversation. But that was a really tough day.
Anybody +2, +3 still in it?
Well, you know, it's right on the Atlantic coast. And it's what a beautiful course, by the way, to see the ocean out there. And that, you know, Kiawah Island is a phenomenal spot and a great resort. But, you know, it's always going to blow. It's the beach. The wind's always blowing. But it was blowing harder in the afternoon than it was in the morning yesterday. So the morning rounds, you know, the scoring was lower. Afternoon got really, really difficult to get anything close. And remember, this is a nearly 8,000-yard golf course. I mean, it's crazy long.
Mm-hmm.
These long par fours, and you know, these guys bang it so far. But if you're off a little bit and the wind gets a hold of it, I mean, anybody that plays any golf, if you put a little spin on that thing, and now a 25-mile-an-hour wind is blowing, all of a sudden that thing goes way offline. It starts, you know, whether it's a draw or a hook or a fade.
Oh, you had Daniel Berger.
Oh,
yeah, he sucked.
Come on, Daniel Berger.
Yeah, he didn't play well yesterday. He may be going home for the weekend. So, but you don't know. You got to come back today. You can be in +1, +2. Maybe the cut line is there. So you still got a pretty good opportunity. Yeah, but those greens, once those balls hit, that's a thin golf course, man. The driving area is.
Well, that's the thing. It's narrow, long, and it's windy. And then remember when they played it here in 2012, Rory McIlroy won by 8 strokes, but it was very rainy. Remember?
Yep.
And it was wet and soft. That is not going to be the case.
Well, it won't be this weekend. It wasn't bad yesterday. They were pretty fortunate yesterday.
Well, they had a lot of rain leading into the 2012 PGA Championship, so you played on a softer course. This is going to be fast, windy, and tough all weekend long. By the way, pay off your B&E factor today ahead of your coach's corner. Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, if they go 1-2, just the second pair of international players to go 1-2 for MVP. Last time it happened, and one of our texters is accurate.
Dirk has to be one.
Zay, do you have a guess on that?
Dirk has to be one.
Yeah, Dirk and Nash.
That's correct. 06-07. Steve Nash was the MVP. Dirk was the runner-up that year. Actually, Dirk was the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Nash was the runner-up. That's exactly right. That's after Steve Nash left Dallas, right? Man.
Please
let him get away.
There are a lot of people talking about this far. Please be careful because it looks like it's getting thicker right now. So take your time.
Burger.
You don't really want to go to work anyway.
Yeah.
So just take your time on a Friday. No place to go.
All right. So let's dive into our Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. Tom McKay and his great crew. I'm 30 years here in Austin for all your audiovisual needs. Buck, you'll be watching all the PGA Championship.
Oh, it looked great yesterday.
On the big 75-inch.
Absolutely.
So this game last night, Texas baseball, I mean, that was... You know, watching that game and you know, listening to it here on the horn, what a disappointing outcome. And I know if you're a West Virginia fan, props to you. That was an awesome win. Your team is fighting to stay out of the play-in game in the Big 12 tournament. They're at the bottom of the standing, so this was an upset for sure. And I thought West Virginia's pitchers made some big pitches in big spots, especially late. The game was 5-4, you know, in the sixth inning. In the final three innings, zeros. And Texas had their opportunities, but that West Virginia bullpen shut it down. But it was a weird game in that it just felt like Texas had so many chances with runners on base.
Right.
Left the bases loaded twice. Doug Hodo struck out with runners at second and third to end the game. And it just felt like, you know, he got to a 3-2 count, and it felt like he was going to get his pitch, and all he needed to do was hit something hard. And instead he swung over a slider, and that's how the game ended. But, you know, there was the third of the three home runs that were hit last night were hit by the shortstop for West Virginia, who bats 206. And he hit it was an opposite field home run that, if you saw the replay, it looked like it was a pop up, and it got up into the wind and it just blew into the West Virginia dugout down the left field line. It was kind of that kind of night for Texas. It was just a kind of a jet stream home run. You know, they did not hit the ball, and you know, we've seen Texas play a lot of really good baseball this year. So every once in a while, you have a game like this that doesn't go your way, and the other team makes the breaks.
It's a bad time for it not to go your way.
You're right about that.
We can talk about how they've played. This was an opportunistic man. They didn't take advantage of an opportunity. That was a championship game.
If they don't win the Big 12 regular season championship, this will be the game that they'll look at, because that was right there for them on multiple occasions.
But they still have a chance.
They certainly do. And if they don't win the Big 12 regular season championship, they still are going to host a super regional. They're still going to be the 2 seed in the Big 12, and you know, there are big things beyond that. But yes, the first goal is to win the Big 12, and that's in front of you. And last night you let one get away that would have put you in first place. I mean, if you win the game last night, TCU lost 4-2.
You're in first place.
Well, you're sitting there tied, but yes, you own the tiebreaker, so you control your destiny at that point with two to play, and that is now not the case. They still need to win the next two.
You say there's still a chance.
TCU's got to lose another one.
They can. They're not playing very well.
They're not. You know, Texas took 2 of 3 from TCU. Louisiana Monroe took 2 of 3 from TCU.
And now they lost the first one of this one.
And now they lost this game. So they're not playing their best baseball right now in Fort Worth. So we shall see. But, yeah, Texas did not play their best last night. I thought they missed a lot of hittable pitches last night. That's the other part that was disappointing. There were opportunities where you got yourself into a hitter's count. You were going to get a good pitch, and the Longhorns didn't take advantage of it. And the most frustrating one was when Zach Zubia rifled a ball down the right field line with the bases loaded and one out, and it looked like Texas was going to break the game open, or at least put themselves in the lead. And he hit it right at the first baseman, just a laser. And the first baseman just caught it and stepped on first base, and that was a double play. And so Zubia took a great at bat, hit the ball hard. It's just that's how baseball goes sometimes. And but other occasions, the Longhorns did not put the ball in play. Some strikeouts, it really costly times, and the play at the
plate. Too many runners on base.
11.
That's too many.
And 1 for 7 with runners in scoring position for Texas last night. Yeah, Trey Faltini struck out with the bases loaded. Hodo struck out with second and third. Zubia had that line out with the bases juiced, and it was just that kind of night. And, gosh, when a guy 206 hits an opposite field home run that really looked like a pop-up, that's not your night. But as you said, they picked a bad time to not have a good night.
Yeah.
If you were out there and Occupy Last Field, let us know how the atmosphere was. Did BK get home okay? I heard he was heading out there to be a part of because before the game, Chris Del Conte announced full capacity. That meant Occupy Left Field and everybody hanging out beyond the left field wall and doing their thing. I hope BK got himself home safely.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Okay.
Or somebody got him home.
That'd be good. Those guys get a little rowdy out there in left field, when they get going. And BK can be a part of that. Hey, so I'll also say this. When we give away these Rangers-Astros tickets, it'll be fun to watch this ball games this weekend with Rangers and Astros. And I was thinking about it yesterday upon our conversation with Gene Watson with the LA Angels, and he's our baseball insider, talking about the lack of hitting in baseball and the strikeouts and the no-hitters. But then you turn on the Astros, and the Astros are the best hitting team in baseball. They've got 6 guys over 300. Top 6 guys in their lineup are, as good as it gets. And I was thinking about this, Buck. The big question for the Astros, they're now in first place in the West. They're going to get healthier in their pitching staff in Houston. Framber Valdez will be back, which would be a big, big, big boost for them. Jake Odorizzi will be back into the rotation. He's going through some rehab at the Round Rock level. My question, and I want to put this out there to Astro fans, the Astros do have some holes. They need a center fielder because George Springer's in Toronto, and I don't think Miles Straw is really an everyday player. They could use a closer, like another guy in the bullpen. I think that's fair to say. I don't wonder if we don't get to July and a name you hear on the trade block is Carlos Correa, because the Astros have plenty of hitting. You could move Alex Bregman to shortstop. Mm-hmm. if you needed to. I mean, the reason I say that is that the Astro fans love Carlos Correa, and he's become the leader of that team or one of the leaders. But the Astros are not going to re-sign him, Buck. I mean, he's a free agent at the end of this season. The contract Francisco Lindor signed with the Mets to start the season before the beginning of the regular season was $300 million plus. The Astros are not going to pay Carlos Correa that going rate. I think that's fair to say. You know, Correa is on record as saying is the last offer he got from the Astros before the season started was a third of that, essentially, in a total deal. You know, this is becoming a Bryce Harper situation for Houston and a Garrett Cole situation. You know, the question is a George Springer situation. You know, the question is the Astros could very well be in first place in July, but could they be in a position to potentially unload Carlos Correa and try to fill some holes elsewhere? And I wonder what other Astro fans think about that, or baseball fans, because we may be in that spot, you know, when we get up to 4th of July and pass the All-Star break with Carlos.
Well, they probably won't pay him that kind of money anyway. Well,
I know they won't. I mean, they just showed that with George Springer.
Right.
Now, Astro fans will argue they should. Like, it's baseball.
If you're not paying George Springer that kind of money, you're not going to pay Correa that money. There's no way.
Well, I can make an argument that you pay Correa because he's younger, right? George Springer's in his early 30s. Carlos Correa is middle 20s. Remember, Carlos Correa entered baseball at a very young age. I mean, you still have a player in his 20s in Carlos Correa versus
Yeah, but you'd like to have George Springer still on your team in the next 3 years. Would you not?
Sure.
Because he's that good.
Correct. But that's what Astro fans would say is what you're saying. If you're going to let Springer walk, then you got to pay Correa. But at least the indications leading up to the season, because they were negotiating, and then Francisco Lindor signed his deal with the Mets.
Right.
And, okay, well, then wasn't very long before Carlos Correa's agent said, okay, that's the deal.
Right.
That's the benchmark. My guy's as good as or better than Lindor, or at least right there in that ballpark. So let's get the contracts in the ballpark. And the Astros and Jim Crane and company weren't close. And, you know, now you don't control that, because when the season's over, he's a free agent. And are you going to risk being able to outbid the rest of the market for Carlos Correa? Or are you going to get to July and say, you know what, wave the white flag on this deal, but he can bring you a bounty potentially. Now you're going to be trading a player on the last year of his deal.
Right.
That could be a rental for that team, so your leverage is quite a bit less. But at the same time, you have other holes. The last thing you want to do, like you've done with Cole and Springer, is let an all-star walk and not get anything for it. I was thinking about that yesterday, and where the Astros go, because they do have some holes, but they do have a really good team. I mean, up and down that lineup, Altuve's hitting well, Bregman's over 300, Yordan Alvarez, is one of the best hitters in Major League Baseball right now. Kyle Tucker is among the leaders in home runs. Yuli Gurriel is still producing runs at a high level. I mean, they've got guys that can put runs across the board in a baseball industry that a lot of teams aren't scoring runs right now, and team batting averages are low. Astros have that advantage, and their pitching staff's going to get healthy. I don't wonder if they maybe use Correa as a chip to improve some other areas.
No, I was watching San Francisco. I hit the baseball channel last night. By the way, that home run swing, it looked pretty nice for the Giants last night.
Well, they scored 19 runs in Cincinnati.
And everybody was hitting for the fences. There was nobody trying to hit line drives. Everybody had that swing that was lifted up, trying to lift it up and over, and a bunch of them got it last night. A bunch.
Yeah. Well, that was... As the summer comes and the temperatures heat up, I think the hitting will get better. But as Gene Watson said yesterday, it's a bad phase in the industry right now with power pitching. And then the way Gene put it, these guys who are hitting outside their profile, right? They should be line drive hitters. They should be putting the ball in play. They should be hitting the contact. Instead, they're trying to do this uppercut stuff and jack it out of the park. And, you can combine that with the analytics these pitchers have of how to attack these hitters and where their cold spots are and their ability to hit those spots. It's a problem. But, yeah, there are going to be games where you run into a bad pitcher and, jack it all over the place. The Giants did that yesterday. Astros are doing that pretty consistently right now. So we'll take your thoughts on that. Should the Astros consider trading Correa? I know that would be it would be seen nationally and by a lot of folks as a terrible move, because you're in the middle of a pennant race potentially and you're trading one of your best players. But this says, are the Astros just being cheapskates? Well, fair question. You know, I think the whole industry took a hit with COVID, but at the same time, Jim Crane has done very well with the Astros. They've, had a lot of, they're one of the more well-attended teams when things are good. A big fan base. They won a World Series. And, you could argue they are being cheapskates. But they would tell you that they're not a big market team, even though Houston's one of the fastest growing markets in the country, that they can't compete with the Dodgers and the Yankees and those other teams. Problem for the Astros, though, is if you trade him, you got to find a trade partner. You got to find somebody that feels like they can sign Carlos Correa come the offseason and wants to build around him. You know, the Baltimore Orioles did that with Manny Machado when they traded him to San Diego, and then San Diego was able to re-sign him. That's something the Astros will have to consider here. All right, now we have tickets to give away to that Lone Star Series. If you want to be in Arlington tomorrow afternoon to see the Astros play the Rangers, be listening. We'll get you an opportunity to win those, our first pair of tickets this morning. We'll talk to Chris Del Conte, the Longhorn Athletic Director, at 8:05. Also, Isaiah Collier leads us through the hot or not topics of a Friday morning. Be careful out there, folks. Fog has rolled in. Visibility is very, very low. We appreciate you being there, live, local, and digital, on the Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Friday on the Horn. Excuse me. Being here with you as we get you going into your weekend. As Isaiah Collier continues to spin the hits.
I'm not going to take a guess now.
On what?
I got slapped back on his music.
Who's this one, Zay?
Your Grand Funk Railroad.
Oh, see, he delivers.
That's
you were a fan.
Punked me. So you go get the most obscure Grand Funk Railroad song and then get me.
I don't know about that. And I've never heard it. Hey, no. Isaiah Collier will lead us through the hot or not topics for the end of the hour. After the top of the hour, Chris Del Conte, the Longhorn Athletic Director, will join us. And Zay, are you hot or not on the ACL festival lineup? Are you a festival guy? When it comes in October, two weekends?
Yeah, I'll dabble a little bit. My allergies will tell me not to be out there.
My
but...
brother ain't getting out there in no sun. Was he lying? He is not standing up E for 3 hours.
Yo, it's October. There's certain artists that I like on the list and certain ones that the Gen Z Caucasians will like.
Gen Z. Yeah, they're going younger. You know, it's amazing. The folks who put on this festival, C3 Live Nation, mm-hmm. that book it, I mean, they do an incredible job. But and clearly, people are excited about it and like the lineup because the 3-day passes for both weekends sold out.
Black Pumas are there. Zay, you need Black to go Pumas. See them.
Black Pumas. Black Pumas are playing Stubbs next week. 5 shows sold out already.
Except we can't get in that one.
Well, we might be able to. I could ask for a favor.
Oh.
Potentially, if you know. There's always a list of some kind, right?
Of course there is.
That we can try to get I can't guarantee it, but
hey,
I can ask.
Hey, am I on that list? I was supposed to be on that list.
Well, just we can try. Walk they have 5 shows starting next Wednesday through the Memorial Day weekend out at Stubbs. But yeah, they're part of it on the underbill, which is pretty cool. But yeah, George Strait, the King, I'm assuming that'll be the closer. That'll end the thing. I don't know. Billie Eilish is a headliner big time. The youngsters like her. She's very talented. Stevie Nicks. It's not Fleetwood Mac, but Stevie Nicks will be there.
I'm going to pass on that. If it was Stevie Wonder, maybe.
I've seen
because I get hugs there. I get to hug up on people.
Yeah, we saw Stevie Wonder at ACL.
Yes, I did. Got a hug and a kiss from a.
I thought that was Lionel Richie.
Yeah, it was dancing. It was dancing on what was it?
Dancing on the ceiling.
Dancing on the ceiling.
The lady with the hairy armpits gave you a kiss out of nowhere, or you kissed her out of nowhere. That was pre-COVID, obviously. It was just kissing randos.
Or the dirty drip.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't care.
No, that was not Stevie Wonder. That was
Lionel Richie concert. I went to both of those, as a matter of fact.
That was the year it got rained out, right?
Yes.
Where the rains came?
Lionel Richie, that was a good one, and so was Stevie
One of the weekends that weekend, that year got rained out. Because I remember hearing a story that because it got washed out, some rich dude in Westlake paid Lionel Richie to come put on like a personal
concert.
At his
house, yes.
Yeah, his house. Like, just wrote a check. Lionel was already in town. It's like, all right, I'll do that. That'd be cool.
Tanya Tucker still making music, huh?
I was told yesterday that Tanya Tucker lives in Central Texas now.
Like, really?
I know everyone lives in Central Texas now. Yeah, like Tanya Tucker makes her home out near Georgetown. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Miley Cyrus is performing DaBaby. You a fan of DaBaby, Zay?
Yeah, I.
Erykah Badu is one of the headliners. She's a Texan. She's from Dallas. That'll be a good show. But, yeah, so that was out yesterday. Good stuff in the music scene. And they've sold out already. But
sweet.
Everybody wants to go. But they do a great job. You know, it's the same group. They put on Lollapalooza as well, right, in Chicago, at Linkin Park in Chicago, C3 and Live Nation. And it's amazing when you see that lineup. I mean, what I was told, we went to Lollapalooza a couple of years ago.
That's a cool scene in Chicago, isn't it?
Oh, it's spectacular. Yeah. I mean, the park is so huge and massive right there along Lake Michigan. But the average age of a ticket goer or a festival goer at Lollapalooza is like 20. Like, it is a young set. So they book to that. I mean, they book really young acts. Austin, I believe, is the average age is like in its 30s, like early 30s. So it's an older, you know, Austin's got the mix of the older music fans and the younger. So they try to get a, that's where you'll get the George Strait and the Stevie Nicks and then bring in some old style stuff. You don't get that in Chicago. In Chicago, man, it is all young. It is.
And Stevie Wonder does not see me, so stop. No, he didn't see me at the concert. Stevie Wonder cannot see. No matter what Trey Elling says, just because the microphone moved and Stevie Wonder reached out and grabbed the microphone, it doesn't mean he can see.
That's a myth.
You know what I mean?
He sensed it.
He sensed it. He has
heightened sense and senses because right. He can't see. That whole thing, that's so annoying that people say that.
We should have had that when the poop was in the corner. Our senses were not heightened that morning.
You know, the afternoon guys want us to test our sense of smell.
No, that's cute, but that ain't cute enough. That deal in the corner was not funny. No.
I can find the humor in it.
Not really. Not really. If you exercise over here and you finger touch that thing.
Finger touch.
You know what I mean?
What does that mean, finger touch?
Just barely tipping your finger on it.
Hey, can
you know,
I...
Like changing a baby's diaper and you just absolutely... Oh, just tip that poop. You've done it before. You've changed diapers.
Oh, many diapers. You have. Many times.
By the way, while you're down there at the... Are you going to have a little duck sausage while you're there?
With the banquet tonight?
Yeah.
I've never been. I was invited and going to be at the Ducks Unlimited banquet in Dripping tonight, down in your neighborhood. So I just told you.
They will be serving duck sausage.
As a guest. I'm excited about that, and I appreciate Travis inviting us.
Great chance to get a little duck sausage.
I will report back on Monday on that. I'm also hoping to be at the NASCAR race on Sunday, maybe take in some Texas baseball.
You truly are a man of the people.
Hey, you know, it's been a while since we were able to get out and be among the people, like parties and things.
And I would agree with you that we've been so cooped up, our brains, that we're not getting enough air into our craniums.
Craniums.
And now
or finger touching.
Even people are thinking that he can't say the word thugs. I can say the word thugs when it comes to football. But if he says it, it denotes only black people. There are white people that are thugs too. When I say that, don't say that. You can't say it. Well, sure you can. I've been trying to get you. There's some words I've been trying to get you to say for years.
I'm not saying them.
Come, why not? You can do it. Let that air.
Yeah, the shouting mob will be after me.
No, they won't.
The shouting mob, the Twitter mob will.
We've been locked up so long, man. We're just so, social media has got us, they got our brains locked up, too.
Not me. I'm getting out this weekend. I got this deal tonight that we've been invited to. I've got graduation parties tomorrow for a friend of ours is graduating high school, a friend of ours graduating college. I've got...
What are you going to do with that mask? What are you going to do with that mask? While you're doing these events, are you with or without that mask?
I will be, if it's outdoor, like the CDC recommends, sans the mask.
What if
friend.
It's indoor gathering?
If the place requires it or asks me to wear it, I'll wear it. But
are you walking in without it early? Because I went right into HEB. I went right into Starbucks for the first time.
I went to HEB yesterday and I put the mask on because it still has a sign on the door. Now, I don't think they're going to jump you if you don't wear it. But at the same time.
I'm done. I'm gone. I'm vaccinated. I'm had it. I'm done. I'm just like. You know what? I can't make everybody comfortable all the time. Sorry. I don't have this stuff anymore. I feel very good and very, and I have it in my back pocket. And if somebody tells me, you can't come in here without that, you know what I do? I whip it out. I don't whip it out. I bring it out.
Excuse me.
I bring this out and then I put it on. I got no problems, but I'm not going into places with it on any longer. Done.
Okay. Now, if they ask you to, you'll put it on. You're not going to be...
I'm not fighting with somebody over a mask. I got it in my back pocket. If I didn't want to put it on, I wouldn't let it leave the car. So I'm not fighting anybody over it, or I'm not fighting anybody against it. I'm doing as I go. You know?
Ooh, somebody said the Round Rock Lake Travis High School playoff game last night was full. 1,400 to 1,500 people.
Oh.
Round Rock won it 2-1. Ooh, great. Thanks for the update on that. I knew, guys. I saw Round Rock, and I've seen Lake Travis. That's going to be a hell of a series. If the Rock took game one... That's going to be, those are two really, I said this earlier in the week, but high school baseball playoffs are deep into it. Dripping Springs, by the way. Dripping Springs still going, Buck,
yep.
Which is pretty cool. But Round Rock, one of the winner of that could win state. I mean, they're that good. Both teams are loaded. with good players. And you know who pitches for Round Rock? Our good friend Kirk Dressendorfer, the former Longhorn.
Really?
And good friend of ours, and worked for Round Rock for a while. His son is a pitcher on that Round Rock team.
Cool.
So I think he got the win in their closeout game in their last series. So good stuff in high school baseball.
And we've got a friend of ours who is resigning from Lakeway Police, Chief Todd Radford.
No.
After a,
he the was guy there. From the HEB commercial?
No. Yeah, that's Todd. That's him.
I met Todd.
The guy who
times.
Lost all that weight and looks fantastic all these years now. Yeah, Chief Radford is resigning, as a matter of fact. So I don't know what went on there. I know he's done a good job in Lakeway, and he's been a friend of this show for a long, long time. Since 2007, he's been the chief there.
Appreciate him.
Yeah, man, he's a good dude.
We hear from Police Chief Cantu out there in Mustang Ridge quite a lot, and we appreciate all those law enforcement officers out there and first responders that do what they do on a daily basis to keep us safe.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back, we'll hit our hot or not topics. Excited to talk to Chris Del Conte this morning, get the very latest on this 100% outdoor Texas situation and the South End Zone update and where it's headed. We're 106 days to the start of the Texas football season. We'll get an update from Chris and you know, the success of these spring sports, the Longhorns. If the Longhorn baseball team could win a Big 12 regular season championship, that would be the 13th conference championship for the Longhorns this calendar year, which would be an all-time record in the Big 12. And that's what's on the line this weekend for the Longhorn baseball team. We'll talk to Chris about all those things here coming up. Plus, did you hear what Patrick Mahomes says the NFL should do with their technology? I want to see if you and Zay are hot or not on it. Coming back, Patrick Mahomes, what I think is a good idea. It's B&E, live, local, and digital. Here on The Horn, we're streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and always at hornfm.com.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot and not on a Friday. Weekend is here in the ATX. Looks like we'll make it throughout the course of today without rain, which is good. We're hot on that. It's going to be cloudy today, foggy this morning for sure, but I don't see any chance for rain until maybe midnight tonight, maybe after midnight into the morning. So, but then 70% tomorrow, Buck.
Yeah, it's rainy tomorrow.
Rainy tomorrow. So enjoy your Friday. That should be good for Texas baseball tonight when they play game two of their series with West Virginia. That's at 6:30. Also, the NASCAR crew. NASCAR this weekend. The Texas Grand Prix coming up on Sunday, 1:30. They'll run 68 laps on the 3.3-mile course, 20 turns. Be interesting how many folks make it out there to be a part of that. And hot or not on this, Buck and Zay, Patrick Mahomes, with a very logical, I believe, idea on a podcast interview recently in Kansas City with the Kansas City Star, says, you know, footballs already have a microchip in them. You know, NFL footballs, they've already got the technology. They use it for, you know, next-gen stats and data and, you know, how hard the ball was thrown and things like that. He makes the statement that why don't they use the chip to determine important situations in a game, like does the ball cross the goal line or not, or is it a first down or not? I mean, you know, we have the technology to line up the line markers, the sticks, with the technology, and don't use the official's eye for it. Just use technology to determine did the ball cross the plane of the goal.
I keep looking at it wondering, do we really need those sticks in a chain gang? Do we really need those guys holding that?
No.
To figure out where... it's for the players to see. I don't know. What would they say?
Yeah, it's just for... I mean, I've been told we don't need airline pilots, right? I mean, the planes could fly themselves at this point, but it's just...
I got to have somebody human up in there screwing up.
Yeah, you just want to see that guy.
Yeah, I need to see that guy.
This is the captain speaking. I'm up here, might be sleeping, but...
You are the one of the driverless car deal?
Oh, yeah.
No, thank you.
See the dude in, where was this, Florida recently? They got pulled over because he was taking a nap. He was in his Tesla, and the cop was following him. He's dead asleep, man, for like mile after mile. And he pulls him over, and then the guy's trying to argue. No, I wasn't sleeping. She seemed, dude, I was out. Following you. You were out.
He's an idiot.
Reading the paper.
Yeah, well, no. I'm with Pat Mahomes on this. Patrick Mahomes, sorry, Mom. But, Zay, you like that idea? Use the technology you've got to make it a judgment call, but we know?
Yeah, I'm with it. Patrick Mahomes needs to tell his brother to stop dancing. That will help everybody.
Ooh, what is that story?
Yo, his brother's always on TikTok dancing. He's just a goof.
No. Well, that's what TikTok does, reveals whether you're got something to say or you're goofy. So he's not a good dancer?
He's
just a goof.
He's just a goof.
Mm.
He does his thing, I guess, but yeah.
I like the technology part of it for touchdowns. I guess I got to have the chain gang. I got to have those guys holding that. Somebody's got to have a job too, right?
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, and there's not a more arbitrary call in football than whether it's a right foot or a left foot spot, right?
No.
I mean, how many first downs have been given?
I know.
How many? I mean,
and you could get that right.
Yeah, why not? I mean, why wouldn't you get it right? It seems pretty obvious to me. And it's kind of like, you know, we talk about strike zone in baseball.
Right.
Get this thing right. Zay, what are you having, hot or not?
Good looking out. E, let's stick with football. A lot of people love and respect Bill Belichick, but Jim McMahon isn't one of them, calling him a lying piece of ish.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, you can fill in the blanks there. And this goes back to his tenure in Cleveland in 95 when Bill was the head coach there, and Bill basically gave Jim the runaround by saying, we're going to release you, but we want to keep you around and we'll sign you later on the season, which was true, but Jim thought it was going to be around week two or three. It was really around week eight or nine, and Jim wasn't getting paid on time, to where he went to then general manager Michael Lombardi and confronted him about his money, where Mike also gave him the runaround and basically said, we'll pay you when we'll pay you, where Jim had to stick him up Sprewell style on Carlissimo, and my man Mike obviously didn't like that and whatnot. Jim ended up getting cut, but it all worked out because Jim signed with the Green Bay Packers, who won the Super Bowl with Brett Favre running the show. So is Bill Belichick a lying piece of ish, fellas?
I guarantee he's lied in his day.
Yeah, I think Bill Parcells has lied before, and I think a lot of coaches have told players certain things that maybe didn't. And I do think Bill Belichick is a totally different coach now than he was in Cleveland. That was his first go round as a head coach.
That's true.
As a young coach, and you learn things like that. But no, I mean, some would argue that Jim McMahon's kind of a piece of ish, by the way, too. He's been a jerk for a long time in a lot of people's eyes.
Ish on ish.
So ish on ish crime.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
I could see that. But yes, I mean, no one's perfect. No one's perfect.
No.
Including Urban Meyer. You know, Tim Tebow showed up at Jacksonville camp today wearing 85. And according to observers, looking noticeably bigger, larger for Tebow mania. He's
a good athlete. He should. Even in his 30s, he should look good.
85, his number.
I'm down with Tebow. I'm down with Tebow. Go get it. Got your opportunity. Somebody gave you a shot at it. Now you got to beat out five other dudes. They'll know if you're good. You'll figure out if you're good or not.
I understand people questioning the judgment of Urban Meyer. That's a fair thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand people being offended by giving a player an opportunity to earn a spot on a roster. He hasn't taken anyone's job just yet. He's needed an opportunity, and I doubt he makes it. I mean, it's a huge long shot that he makes that roster. If he does, then I could see that being controversial. At this point, I think it's...
So slow time in football sports.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. Reset your headlines. Disappointing night and a missed opportunity for the Texas baseball team. We'll break it down. And then, of course, we're talking to Chris Del Conte, the Longhorn Athletic Director. All things Texas sports and why they've gone to 100% outdoor and what's coming in the South End Zone. How's the project going? It's B&E on the Horn.